T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back here to the Hockman and Crowder Show here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens filling in for Hawk today, and we've got a treat here as we go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline to welcome in Marcus Thompson, Bay Area columnist from The Athletic and the author of the new book, KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. You can follow him on Twitter, at ThompsonScribe, and the book is available now wherever books are sold. Marcus, thanks for joining the program. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so let's start at the beginning for Kevin Durant. What did he have to overcome in his personal life and the surroundings that he faced in his youth growing up in Prince George's County in Maryland and then to get to the NBA?
I mean, it started when he was one, when his father left, and it was just him, his older brother, who's like 2 years older than him, and his mom. So it was a bad start. He had a single mom who didn't have much money. They ended up having to live with his mother, with her mother, his grandmother, and it was just a rough start. So maybe the first, 10 years of his life was the struggle of poverty, and his mother trying to make it, and like kind of bouncing around a little bit. Then his father got back into his life in middle school, and things still just, man, they just never really got that much better. He dealt with some crazy deaths. Some like gut-wrenching deaths to people who are close to him, and somehow he just managed to find this, serenity in basketball. Like that was his saving grace. He spent all this time in the gym and fell in love with basketball because it was his escape, and he needed one.
And Marcus, hearing about all that, and we haven't read the book yet. I'm going to read it as soon as I can, but we haven't read it yet. But you just all the tough upbringing. When did that happen? When he stopped being the nice guy? Because I remember back in OKC, he was always the nice guy. I think it's the criticism people gave him with his MVP speech, where he just kind of said, hey, it kind of just made him see, hey, these guys are going to criticize me no matter how I act. But at some point in his NBA career, he stopped being the nice guy. When did that happen?
I think you're right. I think the scrutiny and criticism that came from his move, like, it hardened him. And look, I think that element was there. Like, he had that in him. I mean, nice guys don't grow up on the streets of Prince George's County, right? Like, you got to have some kind of edge to you. I mean, the situations he's been in, the people he knows, like the places he went to play hoop, you got to have some edge to you. But I think he was in that Oklahoma City mode of like, let me be the good guy, let me be humble, let me put on the good face. I think you're right. Like, once he made that move and that criticism was just relentless and coming, he was like, look, all right. Y'all about to get the whole KD then. And I think what we've seen is him saying, all right, no more fronting, no more only showing you the good side. I'm just going to be 100% me, even if y'all don't like it.
And which suit fits him better? The nice guy suit with the bow tie or the guy with the Lacoste shirt underneath his suit saying, hey, I got a jacket on, but I ain't going too far?
I was in the same boat of like criticizing his moves. Like, why are you arguing with 17-year-olds on Instagram? Like, it just doesn't even matter, right? But as I've like learned his journey and like kind of dug into his life, and I actually started to appreciate that somebody who's just being transparent and honest, right? Most of our superstars, especially in this day and age of brands and social media filters and moguls and all that. Like, everybody's fake. Everybody's some kind of PR concoction or some kind of, like, crafted, branded image. But KD kind of violates all that. He's like, yeah, you're going to get all of it. You're going to get the vulnerable parts. You're going to get the flaws. You're going to get the good stuff. You're going to get the ball. Like, I'm just going to be me. And I actually have grown to appreciate that he is willing to be transparent and vulnerable and look flawed in front of us, because not everybody from his, like, millennial background is willing to do that. Everybody's front these days.
Marcus Thompson, Bay Area columnist from The Athletic and the author of the new book, KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. joining us here on 560 WQAM. Marcus, with the controversial decision for him to leave OKC to go to Golden State, I'm just curious for a South Florida audience, how much did the Thunder's loss to the Miami Heat in the 2012 NBA Finals impact his decision a few years later?
Man, I think it was that taste that got him hooked, right? I think in 2011 he got the taste of the Finals and like what that's like and what was next for him, right? So that's 2011. And he got a dose, and they were all so young, and he couldn't get back. I think that was a big deal that he got it so young and was kind of like expecting it, and he couldn't get back. And he felt like, man, maybe we never get back if I stay here. Maybe there's not enough money, you know, in the franchise, enough wherewithal to pull it off. I feel like Kevin Durant has always in his, like, heart and his spirit, right, has always felt like, he deserves this stage that he's on right now at the top of the game, at the highest level, playing in the finals, playing against the best dudes in the league and showing and giving them the business, right? Showing them what he can do. I feel like there was something about Oklahoma City and probably several things that made him feel like, man, it's hard for me to get on that stage that I belong while I'm here. So he chose another route.
And Marcus, while you're doing all the research, looking into it, talking to KD, his people around him, the entourage, whatever, you know, all the research you did, was there any moment you had to sit back and say, what did you just say? That most, you know, surprising revelation that hit you when you were doing your research?
Well, Kevin Durant said something that had me like, hold on, what? I wrote about it in the book because like Kevin is a very like, he's one of those dudes who like to be deep for no reason, right? Like he really knows how to, like, pull things apart and examine and investigate. He's really inquisitive that way. So I remember when Kanye West said slavery was a choice, and that day they had a game that day, and everybody in the arena is talking about Kanye crazy, Kanye tripping, and, you know, some people are mad. So I go to KD, and he's like, I mean, well, y'all don't want to know what I think. And I'm like, uh-oh, KD, what are you saying? And we ended up having this long dialogue about partially why he agreed with him, but he was just being, like, contrary, right, and being difficult and challenging. So he does stuff like that all the time. He just argues for the sake of arguing. I thought that was a pretty telling sign of this inquisitive, kind of curious dude who just don't like status quo but just attacks them relentlessly.
Marcus Thompson Berry, a columnist from The Athletic, the author of the new book, KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest, which is available now. I want to ask you this, Marcus, because based on the national narrative, it seems like a foregone conclusion that Kevin Durant will depart the Bay Area in free agency this summer. Have you gained any insight with all the extensive conversations you've had with him about where his head may be at in regards to that decision?
The insight that I've gained is that that Kevin Durant could change his mind five times, right? Like, and that in the end, he feels so much that it's going to come down to D-Day anyway. That's what I think. I feel like he has all the options in the world. He's the number one free agent. Like, this is a position he wanted and he earned. So he is the prized possession of free agency. And now he got all these options. And one of them is definitely to go to New York. That is without question. That's what the scuttle is. And most people know that that's what it is. So I do feel like, though, when it's time to make the decision, like, KD will be at a crossroads, and it's going to be tough. Like, New York's going to have a plan that is so thorough and mapped out, because to walk away from Steph Curry, to walk away from three championships, to walk away from more money, to walk away from a new arena, to walk away from, like, this recent kind of surge in KD love and everybody in the Bay calling him the best in the league, you know, echoing the voice of the national media and just the national conversation. Like, he's kind of got it all here. So, me personally, I just don't know how he's going to sit in front of these other teams and they're going to say, yeah, what we got is better than what you had, and he walks away. Maybe he does. Maybe he's got the plan and he goes through it, but it's just going to be tough to say, yeah, we got $221 million in, like, the perfect situation. What you got? And the other answer just seems to be one-upping them. I just don't know if I see that.
And the book's done. So, you know, in your opinion, with what happened last night with the draft lottery, with Knicks not getting the first pick, and that was one of the destinations people are talking about, do you think the Pelicans, you know, jumping into that first pick, anything that happened in the lottery will affect KD's decision? Does anything look good to you for KD with the situation you're talking about, the perfect situation for Kevin Durant?
I think getting Zion would have been, like, you know, a much better look for New York, right? If he can go be like, man, we got the young talent with Zion. We got, you know, you. We're trying to get Kyrie. We got, you know, that would have looked great. With that said, the number three pick is not bad. And if somehow that means they end up with Anthony Davis, that actually, I think, might look good for the Knicks, right? Because if you could say, yo, we got Anthony Davis, you know, we can bring on you and Kyrie. Like, that's a squad that he could win a championship with in New York, I think, or at least be in the conversation. And the whole thing is he's got to feel like he can win a championship because, man, can you imagine if he left the Warriors and left that, like, perfect setup to go and be a first-round exit in the eighth seed? Like, that would be worse than what he went through already. So, I don't know. It feels like the best thing would have been Zion, but I don't think the Knicks are in a bad spot because of the draft lottery at all.
No, and it sounds like Kevin Durant's in a terrific spot with as many options available to him as he would hope for.
Man, I need that life. I can pick and choose what I want.
No doubt about it. Hey, Marcus, congratulations on completing the new book. I know you've had success with your bestseller, Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, and now another one, now KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. It's available now wherever books are sold. Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with the book, all right?
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Good to hear from Marcus there, Channing. And, yeah, that was a good question you asked him about what's going to happen now with the NBA landscape, considering everything that transpired last night in the NBA draft lottery. But Kevin Durant, it doesn't seem like his decision will be affected all that much. I mean, this guy is sitting pretty. All of the free agents out there, yeah, they're looking to get the big paydays, but it seems like Durant, more so than anybody, is probably positioned the best to make an awesome decision for his life moving forward.
Oh, yeah. He's the pretty girl sitting at the club. Like, he doesn't have to work. Like, he has all the options. Like Marcus just said, if he goes to New York, they're going to add pieces. Even if it's not KD, they have to rebuild their team. Number three pick, so if it's R.J. Barrett, if it's J. Morant, like, they have young pieces to attract, to attract an older guy, and maybe KD. And then if it is New Orleans or wherever else it is, the Celtics, they have a lot of pieces to move. KD's sitting back as the pretty girl at the bar, and she can, no, I'm fine, and wait for the right dude to walk up to her. KD's sitting pretty, Greg.
He really is. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk to Marcus about, because, again, I like to, when we do these interviews, we've got a national guy on or somebody from outside of the market, is bringing the South Florida angle to it. And so I did think it was interesting, his response about the 2012 NBA Finals, because that was the first championship for LeBron James. It also signified LeBron James and Chris Bosh and the power move that they had made in free agency to team with Dwayne Wade and make the big three. It paid off for them. And I think that opened the floodgates to Kevin Durant a few years later. But it was interesting to hear Marcus's thoughts on that. Said, hey, Kevin Durant got there and was so close. He got a taste of what it may be like to win a championship. Saw one of his contemporaries actually hoist the Larry O'Brien Trophy, and you get the feeling that even though it was a few years later, that opened up the idea for Kevin Durant to say, you know what, I don't have to be loyal to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I need to do what's best for me.
Oh, yeah, and two things on that. With seeing a super team come together, I think KD didn't recognize the criticism he was going to get because he wasn't the first one. The Boston Big Three was there before the Heat, and then the Heat and LeBron James, who, and it was my second point, KD, he came out with an article years ago that said he's tired of being number two. It was always LeBron, KD, LeBron, KD. I honestly believe KD's past LeBron if you want to do your top five on NBA players right now. But KD saw the guy that everybody looks up to more than him, the one player, and he saw him make a decision. And he saw him go have success. So KD went, honestly, if you look at it, went and did the same thing LeBron did. He didn't bring his own two players together, but he went to Golden State, an already established team, and still got criticized. But all that coming together where LeBron, the big three, Wade, kind of gave KD that push around the corner way encouraged him to leave because, hey, I've seen the success, but this super team knocked me off the pedestal. Let me go build my own super team. It always comes back to South Florida, like Florida man thing. Look on Twitter, Greg. Yeah, the Florida man. Some dude was having sex with an alligator a couple days ago. Florida man. It always comes back to Florida.
Well, just exactly where I thought this was going to go, from Kevin Durant changing teams to sex with an alligator. You know, you just that's why I enjoy working with you, Channing, when I get the opportunity. My goodness. Real quick, I think I had a pretty cogent point that I wanted to make as a follow-up to that, but you just threw me completely off with this sex with an alligator.
Come on, man. That's, you know, I've had sex with gators, but Florida gators I was there.
Like co-eds.
Yeah. The actual reptile, though, I left them alone. I catch them, but there was no sexual actions.
Okay. The one thing I do want to follow up with, thank God, with Marcus Thompson was, you know, sometimes when you interview somebody like Kevin Durant or you write a book or do a project in which you do a feature on a particular player, you tend to, and he's a professional and he's really well respected, but you tend to kind of maybe be a little biased, right? Because you spend a lot of time with them, you get that access. But I was happy that he pointed out that even he has told Kevin Durant, man, what are you doing arguing with 17-year-olds on social media, right? Like, because that's the one thing about Kevin Durant, among others. Like, I've been critical of him, but that's the one thing that I really can't comprehend. Like, the fact that he wanted to go to a winner, you can make sense of that even if you disagree with it. But the fact that he cares what all these kids are saying about him on social media who, you know, they've got no saying all this. He's a multimillionaire. He's at the peak of his powers. He is a guy that, as you mentioned, probably the best player skill-wise in the NBA right now. Yet he cares about what some kid is tweeting about, you know, hypothetically from his mom's basement.
Marcus said it. He's still a millennial. He's still a millennial. It surprised me because Falero always lets me know that I am technically a millennial, but caring about what other people think that have nothing to do with it. A general manager, a head coach, you know, an NBA head coach, or, you know, somebody that really covers and knows basketball, listen to their opinions. I always say put a value on your evaluators. A 17-year-old kid saying you suck, who cares? He's in his mom's basement eating cat food with no girlfriend. He's a virgin. Leave him alone. But it's just a millennial. I really believe that because I go, even the guys I talk to now, the young players that I go talk to, they sit and as soon as the meeting's over, they check their Twitter, check their Instagram, check their Twitter. People care what, I don't say nobodies, but to you, they're a nobody. These millennials really care what the nobodies think about them, and it's part. It is there. I don't think you could talk to those guys. I think it's just beat into your head now. There are 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds now with Twitter and Instagram, and I don't map my face, Facebook. I don't really do my face. I don't think it's my face, Greg.
No, it was my space and Facebook. You sound like Bill Belichick.
I do. I have a very old soul, but KD tries to get away from it, but I believe that millennial comes out in those guys. They've been trained to do it. They go on their phone every time they get a chance. Back when I was young, you remember watching the pregame when they were showing guys in their locker with the headphones on, eyes closed, you know, just nodding their head? Every single TNT ESPN game, when they have the pregame with the guys in the locker room, every one of them's face down in their phone. 10, 15 minutes before tip-off, face down in their phone. They care about that crap. KD, LeBron, all the top players, Giannis, AD, they all care about that damn phone and that social media.
You know what I learned so far in this brief interaction we've had during this segment is you're talking about alligator sex, and then now you're talking about these millennials eating cat food, of all things, in their mom's basement. I never heard that.
That's what happens when I see a curmudgeon sitting down trying to make everybody's life bad, upset with their life. They always have a cat food can in front of them.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't know. It's just my imagination, man.
I thought I was going to learn a lot from Marcus Thompson, but really Channing Crowder is enlightening me. All right, we got a lot more to get to here on the program. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll be back here on 560 WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.